This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with RightWorks IT, specializing in the accounting industry. And with us today, we have Nancy McClellan, aka the Dancing Accountant, who's trying to change the way bookkeepers and tax preparers see each other, work together, and serve their clients. Nancy, welcome to the show. First things first, what is the Dancing Accountant? Most importantly, well, whatever you're smart at, okay, whatever. Dancing really, account, how's this happen?
That's the most important thing, Andrew. Okay, all right. Well, actually, I will say first, the most important thing is, hello, how are you doing today? Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year and a half in the making since QBC 22. Yeah. And then we applied for it in 23. And like, it costs a lot of money. And just they didn't, they're like, yeah, we don't do tech companies. Which,
yeah, they did. They really changed up how they handled the vendor floor this past year and mixed it up differently than they had before. It was still, it was great, but we missed seeing you there. We really did.
Yeah, that's what everybody said. They're like, where are you? It's QBC. Why aren't you here? And I was just like,
well, I'm very cool enough, I guess, to QBC that they brought us together in 2022, because I had been looking for a company to help us write our WISP for quite some time, and it interviewed a lot of people, and you guys were the winners. Thank you so much.
Perfect. All right. So, Dancing Accountant.
All right. Okay. Let me tell you what happened there. So I have run my own CPA firm, and it's a hyper local firm in our neighborhood of Logan Square in Chicago. We are a fully remote company, so our team is distributed all over the country. But our client base is hyper-local in Logan Square. And so, you know, to that end, our clients are the people where, you know, these are the restaurants where we eat. These are the stores where we shop. These are the professionals that we hire for services, right? You know, we're really entrenched in there. We really believe that keeping our local communities vibrant is all about keeping small businesses healthy. So that's the mission of our company. And so we've been doing this for 24 years. And we've really grown up with the community. And when I started out, it was Nancy McClellan LLC, solopreneur, you know, sole proprietorship, didn't have any team members, and it built and grew very organically through the years. And as it grew, and as we realized that we had a really valuable company culture that prioritized fun, personal relationships, I knew that I wanted that name to change. I didn't want it to just be Nancy McClellan LLC. I came up with list after list after list of ideas for names, and nothing was quite right. And I am a dancer. I dance with four different troupes. And the one in particular that's important for this story is the Janes, which is a 1960s go-go style dance group. So, like, you know, the tall white boots and Nancy Sinatra, these boots are made for walking, that kind of stuff. So I was on my way to a gig, and the gig was actually at a local park that is a pro bono client of mine. And the gig was to teach little kids how to do go-go dancing, which is one of my very favorite parts of the job. It is so much fun. So there I was in full costume, and I walked there from home, right? I got my tall boots on, my mini skirt, my fascinator, like, it was full costume. And I get there, and the members of the community will come, and they will picnic at these various events that they have at the park. It's a really awesome, fantastic organization that holds a lot of community events there. And I walk up, again, full costume, right? And not just one, but two clients of mine are picnicking there with their kids together. And I walk up, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a deep breath here. And the client says, look, kids, it's the Dancing Accountant. And I just immediately was like, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the name. That's the brand. It's the dancing. Yes, I am the dancing accountant. That's who we are. And it's fantastic. Every time that memory of like a photos of that day come up on Facebook, that client will get in touch and be like, I remember this day. And I'm like, yes, thanks to you that I changed my name. So I came back. I think it was that afternoon or the next day that I filled out my DBA paperwork, and we've been the dancing accountant ever since.
It's so cool how like, it's not just a, well, I came up with, and it's funny, you know, we have thousands of clients. So there are a lot of companies that have like the same name as others, like just, you know, it's very descriptive of what they do, but you know, like the best business services, something. Yeah. And it's like
accounting and business solutions is what I see a lot. Accounting. Yeah. And like I get it. Yeah. You do provide accounting and business solutions, but what makes your accounting and business solutions different than that person's accounting and business solutions? Although I should say in 2024, the thing that might distinguish you is that you are taking clients, and most nobody else is taking clients. So maybe that's all you need, but I do think
the firm that actually has bandwidth.
Yeah, capacity.
We have the capacity to actually take you on as a client. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. That is a distinguishing feature these days. But no, I agree with you. I love the names that tell you something about. I'm in an amazing professional bookkeepers association called the Bookkeeping Buds. And that is one of the things I love about it. So many of the women in that group have really descriptive, fun, interesting names for their companies. There's one in particular I love. A colleague who does only nonprofit accounting. Her company is called Bookkeeping for Good, kind of like tech for accountants, but Bookkeeping for Good. And I love that. That's just like, yeah, I know exactly what you do now. And I know who you are, more importantly.
Right. I mean, a big thing, we won't dig into the niching and differentiation conversation, but
we could.
We could
talk for an hour about that.
Right. I mean, at QBC 22. So we're now recording 14 months after that. But I received dozens of business cards, talked to dozens of people. The dancing accountant, it's just so different, right? And
yeah,
that there's
it's
a story,
it's memorable.
A story behind it. It's cool, and it
people
gives
won't
personality
necessarily
to it.
Remember your name, but they will be likely to remember your personality or the kindness that you showed them, you know, or the generosity. And having a brand, it's so funny. People call it my brand all the time. And I'm like, I don't have a brand. I am a brand, I guess, because it just feels like it's who I am. You know, it's me. And it's not just me. It's the other people in our firm. You know, we're all like that. We all love, we're fun, we're interactive, we're personal. And it has also, you know, I should say, it has opened all sorts of doors for me that I never would have expected, because people remember the dancing accountant, but they may not remember your name.
Yeah. And having that, the differentiator and opening doors for opportunities and things like that, I mean, that's been my experience as well with just, you know, people that you've run into and some memorable thing like, yeah, Randy Crabtree, for instance.
Oh,
we're also Chicagoan,
that's
right?
That's so funny. I am so glad you brought him up, because when I was trying to decide what to wear for our podcast, I know many people are listening to this, but to those of you who are watching, I live in a very colorful place. We live in Mexico during tax season. And so I decided to wear something really colorful, but I thought about wearing my unique CPA t-shirt when I was looking around. I made it even more unique because I cut it up and like made the shoulders different and made it, yeah, I made it my own, which of course fits for the unique CPA and Randy's whole podcast and his vibe. But
right.
Please go ahead with what you were saying.
Oh, well, it was like, okay, he's in Chicago. And so, you know, when he was putting on the conference, the unique CPA conference and in person and stuff. And
bridging
like,
the gap. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking to him a few months before that. And it's like, we're not going to be able to sponsor or anything, but like, I love Chicago. So like, if you need me to pop in and say like something, like I will go for Chicago. Like,
honestly, that has been in all of the conferences I've gone to, and I've gone to a lot. I mean, I'm addicted to conferences for sure. But Bridging the Gap has been my all-time favorite conference. I cannot wait for it to happen again this year. I think it's in August in Chicago again, and I am super excited about it.
yeah, everything Chicago is like, that's the one city I travel all the time, and Chicago is the one where if there is any excuse, like I'm running in the Chicago Marathon later in this year.
Are you really? Oh
Yeah.
my gosh, we should meet up. We'll be back
Dude.
home by then. So yeah, let's connect. Let's get together. That would be great.
Perfect. See, and this is how everything works.
And this is why
Bringing
I'm addicted to conferences, is that you
Yeah.
meet so many people, you network, you build relationships. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, I did the New York City Marathon a couple months ago. And so then it was, and then like the next month I did one local. And so now I'm just spoiled because I've done a major, and it's like the local ones, it's like it just doesn't do it the way that New York City does it. So
You know,
Chicago's the other major.
you're gonna have to be careful with Chicago, because one of the weird things that happens with our marathon is one year it'll be the highest temperature that has ever any marathon has ever been run in, and another year it'll be the lowest temperature that any
Yeah.
marathon has ever
Yeah, I
been
heard this
run
year was
in.
horrible, so I dodged the bullet. New York
You dodged
wasn't
the bullet.
fantastic, but it's better than Florida. Just, oh, the
Oh,
heat and
really?
everything. But back on topic, because this is how it goes. You start somewhere and then it's just like dancing accountant, oh, niching pizza, Randy. So there has been a divide in the bookkeeper versus CPA world. We'll assume everyone has capacity to take on clients, but talk a little bit about on how, there is this divide, but there are opportunities within that. And you know firsthand how people could look at the opportunities that would exist between a bookkeeper and CPA, tax pro, someone doing books. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, I just want to say this divide is not new. This divide has been there since time immemorial. And I think it came about because, as you're aware, and I'm sure all your listeners are aware, there's a huge amount of work involved in becoming a CPA. I mean, really a massive amount of work. Not only do you have to know a lot of things, but you have to have 150 credit hours. You have to, as Blake and David on the accounting podcast have been discussing quite a bit over the past couple of years. That's a difficult barrier to entry. But there are also four extremely different exams, difficult exams that you have to take, and to at a very high level that you have to get the grade has to be very high. It's not just a pass fail kind of, I mean, it is pass fail, but the pass has to be a very, very,
It's
very
not like
high
college where it's
percentage.
like, hey, you got
Yeah.
it.
No, it's work. It's a lot of work. And if you fail one section of it, you have to retake it within a certain period of time. And so minimum, you're studying for it, you know, nearly full time for like a year and a quarter in order to get all the way through it, right? It's tough. You've got to be reviewed by your peers. There's a huge amount of work that goes into it. So I suspect that the divide initially happened because they're at least back in the day, were no barriers to entry for bookkeepers. Bookkeeping, and to this day, it's not a licensed profession. You can get licensed in there are lots of fantastic programs out there where you can get, but it's not a state licensure. Anybody can do bookkeeping. Technically, anybody can do tax preparation. It's just that CPAs are often associated with that. And so I think that that's where it originally that divide came from. And through the years, there has been a real looking down on bookkeepers by CPAs and EAs and non-credentialed tax preparers as well. And it's just not fair. It's not fair because bookkeeping has come a long way. And my experience has actually been, again, as we discussed earlier, I attend a lot of conferences. I'm also a member of five different professional associations. And so I spent a lot of time with both CPAs, EAs, other tax preparers, and with bookkeepers. And when it comes to technology, Andrew, the bookkeepers dance circles around the tax preparers. Now, part of that is through no fault of the tax preparers. The tax preparation software industry is still in the 90s somewhere. You know, they're just not leveraging the tools and technology that are available to us today. So that's part of it. It sort of kept us in that world. But also, you know, there's just not a curiosity about it, and there's not a comfort level with it. We also have a very aging tax preparation profession, not as many people coming into it as going out of it. So for a lot of reasons, they're not as tech savvy. And then I go to Scaling New Heights, and I go to QuickBooks Connect, and, you know, Hector Garcia's conference, his reframing conference. I go to these conferences, and I look at these bookkeepers, and oh my goodness, I just am amazed. I am constantly amazed. In Bookkeeping Buds, my favorite professional association, I provide a lot of assistance to people in that group where it comes to debits and credits and complex transactions and tax readiness and 1099s and all sorts of different things. But they have to tell me, like, wait a minute, I've got this client who's got this bank account through Square. I didn't even know Square had a checking thing, and it doesn't sync with QBO. And how do I get those transactions into it? And I have to ask them for help. And I would love to see this divide eliminated. I don't think it's ever going to be eliminated, but I would love to see it eliminated. That is my goal that I'm working toward. And I want to work toward that from two different sides of it. I want to work toward it on the side of the CPAs and EAs and other tax preparers saying, hey guys, go talk to these bookkeepers. They really know their stuff, and they can make your life so much easier. What if, can you envision a world where every client tax return you do, you already know that the balance sheet has been tied out to source documentation and you can see where that is? And so you don't have to follow up with the client for all of that kind of stuff. What about a world where you could potentially share your questions for the client with both the client and the bookkeeper at the same time? And the bookkeeper might be the more knowledgeable person to get back to you. And you can do that all in a secure portal environment, right? Like, that's where I see it happening on the CPA side of things. And on the bookkeeper side of things, earning a much higher place in the eyes of the tax preparers by the tax preparers looking to them as being the experts when it comes to technology, the experts when it comes to financial statements, even the experts potentially in the advisory space. I do think that this is possible. We're at kind of the opposite end of that right now. We've got a long way to go before we can get there, but there's a lot of technology these days that can help affect that improvement in communication and collaboration.
And I think you have a really unique perspective being both sides of the fence. And it's interesting, you know, you point to the bookkeepers are very, very tech forward. And, you know, I am uniquely in a position where we're seeing thousands of different firms, how they operate, what pieces are happening on the bookkeeper side, and then
what's happening?
Oh yeah, the bookkeeper side is a lot more focused in the QBO and which apps can streamline the process, make my life better, make my life easier, get the job done correctly, faster, and be able to provide more value to my clients. They're a lot more open to the remote workforce and things like that. And I mean, this is a sweeping generalization, right? It doesn't mean that all are like this, but
let's pause for just a moment, because I don't want to alienate anyone on either side of this current divide, right? Not only is it a sweeping generalization, it's important to remember that the bookkeepers that you and I are coming across, right? I'm meeting people who are in professional associations. I'm meeting people at technology conferences. I'm meeting people who are really into continuing education online and webinars, right? So I am sure that I am sort of self-selecting for the bookkeepers that are more tech savvy. And you are too, because I mean, you're tech for accountants, right? Like
Well, it's both-sided. It's people that hate it and just want it to be done. And then it's people that love it and want even more.
Sure.
So it does tackle both sides of it. And I'd say more so on the side of, I just want someone else to do this for me. Just take it off my plate. But when we go to things like QuickBooks Connect and Scaling New Heights, where it's very, very tech forward. And that's where, you know, we meet a lot of clients who are, have that mindset. And that's where, you know, those, everyone, which client's your favorite? Like, everyone's my favorite, right?
I'm your favorite.
Aside from Nancy, which client's my second favorite, right? Okay. It's the people actually in like the bookkeeping groups, the ones that are very, very tech forward and like, how can we accomplish more with less? And so kind of having that divide, it's almost kind of like how there's like the doctors versus nurses, not exactly in that way, but like so much of the work is done by the nurses. And the doctor's just the, well, I am the doctor. And it's like, well, when we were in the delivery room for like 3 days, I saw you like twice.
I love the fact that you're saying all of this and you have no idea that my mom is a women's health nurse practitioner who delivered babies. So I heard about this at the, and she was married to a doctor. So we had many a conversation at the dinner table on exactly that topic. Yeah
so
for sure.
It falls into that same world. And it's funny too, that like, the bookkeeper, it's not a licensed professional, but you can get different licenses and certifications. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. The IT world is the same way.
Yeah, me too. I'm always
anybody can do it. And it's like, we have the keys to the castle on so many different aspects. And
it's true.
There should be. And I'm pretty much anti-regulation on everything. But like, for what we're doing, like, there should really be some standards that everyone needs.
Regulations exist for a reason, and I don't like the ones that are just words out of a politician's mouth and don't have any real positive effect in the world, and just create red tape for small businesses. I see a lot of that in Chicago. I see a lot of that.
That's all it is. That's why it's the Windy City, right?
Yes, that is actually why we're called. People think it's because we're windy, but it actually isn't particularly windy in Chicago compared to many places. It's because we're very blustery. Our politicians are very blustery.
Yeah.
And that's where we got the name. But I do think regulation certainly has its place. And I think regulating professional services, at least to a minimum degree, really ensures compliance, you know, for everyone, and it keeps consumers safe too. So
And you don't know what you don't know as a consumer. So like, when I hire contractors to do work on my house, I'm not handy at all. I can't swing a hammer. So having, you know, I hate the idea of have to get a permit and then go through all this red tape. But it's like, when the inspector comes and says the contractor that you hired did not do it up to code, which most of it is about safety, right?
Yes, exactly.
And it's like I wouldn't know if I didn't know.
This is the safety of our small businesses, right? Because we're talking about the bookkeepers and the taxpayers that are taking care of our small businesses. And as I said earlier, I truly believe that our small businesses are the key to the vibrancy and health of our communities, right? So I do wish that we had a different kind. I mean, here we've got over-regulation for CPAs to some extent. There are a lot of requirements toward becoming a CPA that are really unnecessary. But, you know, but anybody can prepare a tax return. I don't understand that, right? Like, there's a discrepancy there for sure. There are a lot of great programs that bookkeepers can participate in. I would not at all say that they have to, but, you know, I do think that some tax preparers will look at you differently if you do have certain certifications. I think more importantly is showing them that you know what you're talking about. And so an example that I give pretty frequently is co-firming with the tax preparation firm. And there are a lot of people who are using Keeper. We use it. We love it for month-end closes. And Keeper charges per client. They don't charge per user. So inviting the tax preparer as a member of your team in Keeper and having them be the final reviewer on your clients that they are taking care of, that they're going to be doing the tax return for, it shows the CPA or EA or non-credentialed tax preparer, it shows them, A, that you know your stuff when it comes to technology, but it also gives them a way to easily do the thing that is one of the biggest pain points for them, which is to tie out those financials and know that they have some amount of validity, right? They can see that each of the balance sheet items has been reconciled or proofed or tied out to a source document. They can see the analytics that they have in there are fantastic on the reporting to look at the profit and loss compared to, say, for example, the prior year and say, oh gosh, that seems like some stuff might have been coded wrong, or maybe they added a revenue stream, or maybe there is a liability I didn't know existed and I can find out more about it by asking the bookkeeper who has been doing these books all year long and might know the answers to some of these questions. I mean, it's a really great way for the value added to be not just a win-win, but a three-way win, because you're talking about a win for the tax preparer, you're talking about a win for the bookkeeper, and most importantly, you're talking about a win for that small business owner.
And coming into that, so when the books are tied out and the CPA, EA, the person doing the taxes, when it's easier for them to do, you know, the compliance work and the glory job, so to speak.
The glory. I love your calling that the glory
if,
job.
If
yeah,
that's the glory,
how we think of it.
That's how the outside perception is. It's like, it is, oh, CPA, like sexy. But
oh yeah, I get that all the time.
You know, we then though into the decommoditizing the work that's being done. You know, the huge topic of the last couple of years has been client advisory services.
Yes,
and
yes.
So when you have strong financials that are accurate and you can actually review them and put together things like, hey, why is this so different? What has happened? What has changed? And these are exercises we do internally, but being able to see the, you know, hey, why did the licenses on this one vendor, why is it 5X? And it's like, well, we just got acquired and had to put five more people into it. So these are like super low level
internal. You talk like somebody who knows, who's been through this.
Yeah,
sure.
As if, you know, it's like,
well,
gosh.
Wait, you're making an excellent point, and I actually want to take that a step further. Not only does it get us into the advisory space in terms of basic analytics for making sure that the financials are accurate, right? But this can take us, that same win-win-win that I was talking about, that can take us into advisory that's really value-added to the client and isn't just compliance, but also can earn the bookkeeper and or the tax firm can earn them both more money because they're moving into the space that is of more value to the client. So another great example of co-firming, collaborating, moving into advisory, some other technology that we're using that I encourage everybody to use is RC Reports and Right Tool. So RC Reports is reasonable compensation analysis. And for those of you out there who don't know what that is, for corporations, they are required, if they're providing services to a company for whom they're a greater than 2% shareholder, they have to be paid via W-2. And how much they are paid is a matter of much discussion in our world and at the IRS. And reasonable compensation analysis is an area of advisory where you can not only take care of your clients as far as compliance is concerned and make sure that in a reasonable compensation audit from the IRS, the amount that they have chosen to pay themselves can be held up, can even be held up in court with RC Reports anyway. But also it's an awesome opportunity for all sorts of going beyond compliance and advisory. So you can save them a lot of money if they're paying themselves too much. And you can come up with a reasonable compensation analysis that shows that they actually don't need to be paid as much as they're paying themselves and save them a lot of money. Or you can look at C Corp reasonable compensation analysis, and they really should be paying themselves more, in which case they're going to save money in terms of what's left over to be paid out as dividends, which are double taxed. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. And I recognize that not all bookkeepers are going to understand all the complexities of this, but reasonable compensation is something that not enough CPAs, EAs, and tax preparers are doing. And a bigger problem is that when they are doing it, they're basically looking at it after the year has ended, because they're looking at it during tax time. And at that point, it is too late to change the W-2 income from the prior year. Whereas bookkeepers are in there every month. Bookkeepers, if they learn even a little bit about reasonable compensation and they subscribe to something like RC Reports, which, by the way, offers all sorts of fabulous free education on reasonable compensation analysis, not just how to use the software. So if the bookkeepers can be doing the reasonable compensation analysis and run it past that CPA, or if when the CPA is running the reasonable compensation analysis, they're communicating that with the bookkeeper and maybe even doing the client interview together, because the bookkeeper is going to be aware of a lot of things that the client will not know and the CPA has no way to know. So again, taking all three of these people and having them work together, much, much, much greater than this. It's, what do you say? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That's the phrase.
Yeah, really we use that a lot in acquisition world.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually like, 1 + 1 = 5. How do we make it equal 5?
Right? And that's so funny that you mentioned acquisitions, because reasonable compensation is a really, really, really huge area in valuations as well. And so that's another area where RC Reports helps us out a lot. And then I mentioned Right Tool, because similar to the other solutions that I've been describing, one of my favorite things about it is that there's a feature. So Right Tool is a Chrome add-on that Hector Garcia, who's a superstar to us all in the accounting world, he and Mark Coram wrote this fabulous Chrome add-on. There's a free version and there's a paid version. In my opinion, anybody who's using QuickBooks Online needs to be using that free version at a minimum. Absolute requirement. It's fabulous. It saves me hours and hours every month. It is so wonderful. But that is not my point here. My point here is that in the paid version, there's this fabulous trick where at the bottom of the balance sheet and profit and loss, there's a link that you can click. Now, so Right Tool, because it's a Chrome add-on, it can add all sorts of things like to your screen in QuickBooks Online. It's fantastic. And so one of them is this little link at the bottom of a financial statement. You click this link and it will strip all of the client identifying data from the financial statements and it'll send it to ChatGPT for analysis. Boom.
Boom. And then that we are super job. Advisory.
Yes. That's a job that we would have a junior accountant spend 3 to 5 hours on per client each month, potentially, depending on the level of analysis. And then a senior accountant would review their work. Well, now the senior accountant can review ChatGPT's work. And we're all really happy that you know, you would think, oh, the junior accountant, you're taking away their livelihood. No, that junior accountant is so thrilled that they do not have to do this work anymore. And I have plenty of other work to give them. Because of the capacity issues, right?
So how do we take on more without having to add more bodies when there aren't more bodies to be taking in? So leveraging AI to lower the amount of hours that need to be put into the work. And, you know, right now it is, okay, so early 2024, math is not its strongest suit, so it definitely does need another set of eyes to look things over.
But however, look, I mean, we are already using another set of eyes to look over the work of our junior accountant. This is not changing that part of it. I mean, to me, it is, this kind of thing is a no-brainer. It's only going to get better, but it's already useful now. And for people who are maybe afraid of AI and, you know, aren't yet at the point where they're comfortable with it for whatever reason, you don't have to be comfortable with it. It's literally a link at the bottom of the screen. Like, and it's available for CPAs, EAs, tax preparers, but it's also available for the bookkeepers. And what if the bookkeeper were doing this on a monthly basis, and if they saw something of concern, brought it up with the CPA during the year, opening up that line of communication, right? And then the CPA decides whether that's something that, actually, we want to look into that. Let's have a meeting with the client. And that meeting involves the bookkeeper. Again, value added for the client and value pricing available for both the bookkeeper and the CPA EA tax preparer at that point. I mean,
the client has the ability then to generate more income or save money. I mean, saving money is the easy piece, but you know, the growing the company and having the bandwidth to be able to do that. And I was actually joking with one of the people at Rightworks. So we were acquired early November, and I was telling him, I was like, I'm kind of bummed out that like, since the acquisition, we've like broke records that stood for like 10 years, like every single month has like broken the record of the previous month. And it's like, but I now have bandwidth to look for other opportunities. Yes. Whereas before, when it was 12 of us, and it's still sort of in this kind of like Earth and Moon thing where we're like orbiting and like trying to like, yeah, we're part of Earth, kind of. Like
I love your honesty. I really do. I appreciate that. I love hearing about this kind of thing.
Yeah. So, but like, because my capacity had been open and now it's like eye opening, coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's like, you know, we had just done this, that, and the other. Like, if we really had, and I mean, we focused so much on streamlining, kind of missed forest for the trees where we could have had other growth, but that's where, you know, you get the expert insight of a company that has 700 employees. Like there's some smart people.
Well, truth be told, we have many of the same struggles and there are only 8 employees here, right? You know, we're a small team, but we have a lot of the same struggles of the bigger organizations. Even solopreneurs struggle with that a lot. I mean, I know in Bookkeeping Buds, that's something that Cindy Schrader, who's the person who runs it, it's something that she talks about. We talk about it in Realize, another one of the groups that I'm a member of. We talk about that a lot, working, putting yourself first and making sure that your business is healthy and that you're trying to reach your goals. I was talking with Gaynor Milkey yesterday, who is an amazing marketer in the accounting space, not just marketing. She does all sorts of stuff. She basically makes dreams come true. And she and I were talking about this. She does. I mean, like, honestly,
I'm working on something right now with her. We're doing a webinar in a couple.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. She didn't mention that. Well, so you agree. She's a dream come true maker,
That is a better description than like what she gives herself.
I totally agree.
Dreams come true.
But she and Cindy and the team at Realize, Jason Statz and all of them, they're always talking about this, like putting yourself first. And Gaynor specifically was talking about, you know, you got to identify your goals first and then everything that you take on, make sure that it is eventually pointing to one of the goals that you have set for yourself. And we don't spend enough time doing that. We spend very little time. I say we as a community and an industry, but like we in our firm, it's one of our biggest weaknesses. We take care of client needs first, and then I take care of team needs as well, but you know, I don't take care of my own needs. And so doing the kind of analysis that I'm describing, we should all be doing for clients. You know, we need to be, I did a webinar for Keeper. It was a panel a few weeks ago that was really lovely with Deb Kilsheimer. And it had never occurred to me to add my own company to Keeper. I kid you not. Like, it actually had never occurred to me. And everybody in the chat was like, Nancy, come on. I was like, I really don't put us first. And I don't do that kind of analysis and that, you know, deep diving that we're just talking about. I've never even tried using the right tool thing to send my own financials to ChatGPT for analysis. Now that I think about it, I do use RC reports for my own reasonable compensation analysis, though. So at least there's that.
At least one thing you plug.
I got it. Use. 1 out of 3 on this particular list.
Yeah, we've had to have our tech stack that we give all of our clients internally. But I feel like that's sort of you have to have it. It's not it's not really like did we get around to doing this for ourselves? It's like that's and also, I mean, with the kind of target on our back, just of like the value that if someone were to get a hold of it, if it weren't through like a million layers of new employees, are like, why do I have to 2-factor everything? So annoying. Why does it always kick me out? Can I just disable it? This one's and it's like, nope, that is a non-negotiable. But you know, being putting the others first. And that's one of the things I definitely myself struggled with for years. And, you know, we have this kind of block of, if I were to delegate this piece, or if I were to let go of control mm-hmm. over this piece. And, you know, as much as we want to empower everybody that works for us, and it's like, here, I know that I can trust you. Like, I've got,
I were just talking about this in LinkedIn. Jason Statz had a post about having somebody else managing your email. And it freaks me out. It terrifies me. And you were like, okay, here's how I have handled it. Here's what my experience has been. That was really reassuring to me. And I want to be that kind of reassuring for bookkeepers when it comes to communicating with these CPAs. It's all about community, and it's all about, I actually have this panel that I'm really excited about that I hope gets accepted for Bridging the Gap, that's on being willing to admit our vulnerabilities is something, you know, publicly is something that can actually make us all stronger. And instead of seeing our vulnerabilities as a weakness. And so what I want to do is I want to address my own vulnerabilities, and I want to be more honest about that. But I also want to help bookkeepers who don't have the confidence to move into advisory. They don't have the confidence to open up these lines of communication with the tax preparers. I want to help them develop that confidence, you know, meet them where they're feeling vulnerable and address what those things are. And like Gaynor was saying, you know, let's create some goals and let's work toward those goals with technology, with collaboration, with personal relationships, leveraging technology and having personal relationships really be the meat of it. And so I started consulting with bookkeepers this year, started with some people in Bookkeeping Buds who were like, hey, can I schedule a consulting session with you to pick your brain? And it was so popular that I've decided this year, my big goal is that I'm going to create a consulting and education cohort for bookkeepers who are wanting to level up, branch into advisory, develop better communication with the tax preparers in their lives. And I'm super excited about it. I'm going to be talking about this at Scaling New Heights in June, talking about how bookkeepers can become tax ready. You know, they don't have to prepare taxes, but by learning about taxes, they can make the books so much better. And I'm super, super, super excited about it. This is my next big dream that hopefully Gaynor will help me make come true.
the person that makes the dreams come true. Well, you know, at the end of the day, and I'm sure you discussed this with, I mean, everyone you talk to, where it's like the actions are what's going to really make the difference. And you still have to be able to know where you're going, but putting together the plan and then the actual action behind mm-hmm. achieving it. And like, I went too far in the other direction, where in 2017, we had peaked. And right around that time I had started, I just started dating my now wife, but then girlfriend. And it was like, you know what? I will just empower everybody. Everybody can do everything. And the company's fine without me. See ya. I'm traveling the world. So it was,
oh my gosh. Wish I had ever, I do that sometimes. I intentionally don't always provide enough information because I want to see if my team can find it within themselves to do the problem solving and ask the right questions. I want to be always available for those questions, but you know, I kind of, you know, throw people into the ocean without a life raft sometimes, but I have never tried that. That is amazing. I want to hear more about that.
Oh, well, it doesn't end well.
Oh no. Well, yeah, it does end well. Sold Tech for Accountants in November. Right?
Okay.
I mean, so there are some good, we know where 20, you are now.
Yeah. So 7 years hindsight, it was a great thing that happened, but talk to me in 2017 or then 2018, where we did half the revenue, or 2019, where we did half the revenue of that, or 2020, where we did half the revenue of that year. So,
well, no wonder you're breaking records right now, like you said.
Yeah, that was easy to break.
Come on, Andrew.
So, But like the lesson learned really was I wasn't paying any attention to the financials. Then come to find out they weren't being done, but that's a different, that's a different horror story. But you know, I completely took my eye off it and was just like, everything will work 100% without me. And it was the right mindset. And I wanted to travel a lot and I got to accomplish that. And that was fantastic. The pieces that I had missed that, you know, go back, tell my future self, I wish I had set up KPIs and checkpoints where, mm-hmm. okay, at 2 weeks, what has happened? What am I expecting from? Mm-hmm. And we had like 50 employees and 6 offices and tons of managers. And at 6 months, I had done the math in my head and I didn't think of it the right way. So I said, if I don't pay any attention for 6 months, that's when things are really going to unravel. And like, I was still around, like it wasn't 100% gone, but at 6 months we were still doing fine. And okay. So I was like, okay, now I'm going to super take my eye off the ball. What I hadn't considered at the time, we were doing annual renewals. So 6 months,
6 months is not the right.
6 months isn't right. It's 18 months is when things will really start to hit.
And you can't take your eye off the ball for 18 months.
Right. Yeah. So by that time, everything is perfectly fine. It's been this way for over a year of everything perfectly fine. And then start looking at, okay, the churn is like very, very substantial. What has happened? And it's like, well, that churn is actually from a year ago. It's just starting to be recognized now. I didn't have KPIs or any looking at numbers, didn't run any analysis. And then it was like, you know what? We need to fire 10 of these 50 people and that'll make everything better. And then started looking at the numbers, found out my accountant wasn't actually accounting. And
you should have been using Keeper and having them send you the KPIs on a monthly basis.
I should have logged into QuickBooks more than Xerox. There's a lot of things I could have been doing, which I mean, it's my fault at the end of the day. But then when I start like putting the numbers together, I was like, oh geez, I didn't need to fire 10 people. I needed to fire 20 people.
Oh dear.
And so then after like a month went by where it was like, you know, I told everyone, I was like, yeah, it was a big cut. Like you all are here. Like this is blah, blah, blah. Like I dropped the ball. This is all my fault, but you all, you know, no worries. And then a month later, do it again. And it's like, okay, to the 30 of you. God. Okay. I know I told you last time, but like, I hadn't done the math.
No, this time I really mean it.
Like last time I just thought I was right. Like this time I have numbers to back it up. And mm-hmm. we only lost one good employee after that second cut. And then just, you know, years of not growing. And then we were like, let's just work with accountants. And that was like,
I mean, you clearly learned your lesson or you wouldn't be where you are now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, last year with the 12 of us had almost, I don't know the exact number, call it 25% higher revenue than we did with 50 employees.
Yeah.
So what we accomplished through streamlining and technology and mm-hmm. being open-minded, I mean, we basically like threw out the playbook and started over from scratch while we still had like our core of customers, but going from like 25,000 customers down to like 2,000 is pretty humbling. So
it should be.
Yeah. So it,
but we do all make mistakes. And I mean, it's why we need the professionals in our lives to not just be doing compliance, but to be partners in making our businesses a success. Right. I mean, what if you had somebody on your side who was looking at things on a monthly basis and not just, I want to be really clear about this. I hate the word just when you're saying just a bookkeeper. Or, you know, I'm just an employee or just, I want us to just get word of the word just. Yes. In that context, I want to get rid of the word just especially where women are concerned. And you're not just a bookkeeper. You know, you're not a bean counter. You are the person who, on a monthly basis, if they had been doing your books and then looking at them, using technology to help them go, wait, I think something might be wrong, and reach out to you, then you would not have had to go through all of that. And so, yes, you're saying, oh, it's all on me. But I think finding the right members of your team is not just about finding the employees who are helping you take care of business, you know, of operations, but also finding the partners in your world who can be those eyes when you are not necessarily being those eyes. People don't go into business in general because they're like, I'm going to start a health clinic for acupuncture and massage because I'm really good at accounting, right? Like, no, that's not.
I'm going to start an architecture
firm because I'm really good at marketing. This is not how it works. I'm going to open a bookstore because I'm so good at whatever business, underlying business thing is concerned. So you need to find partners who are experts. So technology being a great example, right? I'm going to start a bookstore because I'm so good at data security. That is not how it works. We go into business because we're good at the thing that we do. And then we find partners, ideally, who are really good at the things they do. And we bring them into the business and we say, hey, help me make this business a success. And that's not a compliance. That's not simply about compliance. Compliance is a big part of it because you can't do the rest of it, as we were discussing earlier. But it's not just about compliance. Tax planning, not just tax preparation, bookkeeping and reviewing the books to see what they mean, advisory, not just compliance. And there are so many amazing folks out there that can do this stuff and are happy to do it for you. But it's, you know, how do we get the public to see the value of these things? What tools technology-wise are we leveraging to help us do these things? How are we communicating with the clients? How are we communicating, you know, across that big gulf, that valley, the divide that we talked about earlier with tax professionals and bookkeeping professionals? If you'd had those folks on your side as part of your team, you wouldn't have had to go through so much.
The universe stuff. Always it has a way of balancing itself out, right? So it was like
then, debits and credits, universal credits.
Then there was PPP and they're like, oh my goodness, look how bad COVID just destroyed your business in 2020. It's like, yeah, that's why. It was definitely COVID's the reason. We'll just ignore like the previous 4 years and see how this trend is.
The fact that Andrew dropped the ball.
Yeah, hey, you know, it is what it is. It's also easier to laugh about it now 4 years later because it stopped and went in the other direction.
Yeah,
but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Nancy, we went way too long. I have to be conscious of your time. I'm pretty sure I missed another meeting because of this, but it was so great talking with you.
Oh, it was Where so can good people talking connect with you. And with there's you? No such thing as saying that we went too long from
we
the perspective
that- We went just
that
too long. We were supposed to go for just... whatever, 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful. This wasn't too long. It was a fabulous discussion. And I really, really enjoyed being able to talk with you about all these really important things.
Yeah. So where can people find you online?
Well, I have an award-winning blog at thedancingaccountant.com that is not monetized. It is just a labor of love. I post a lot of those articles to MSN. So if you get your news from MSN, please follow me there. I also have a YouTube channel with all sorts of fabulous information on it. And LinkedIn is where I am most active on the social platforms.
Fantastic. Well, guys, if you enjoyed the episode, be sure to like it and connect with Nancy. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Nancy, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you
great.
For having me, Andrew. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.